Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding the Mishnah roughly a quarter down the Amud. A lot of the Mishnah we've learned already before, particularly at the very beginning of the Masechta, when we spoke about the Shnayim Oichsim, the Talis, we made reference and we incorporated a lot of our Mishnah. So it should be familiar to one and all. Says the Mishnah, Amud Shnayim. A Yid gets up one day and he figures it's time to do tshuva. And he goes over to two people, and he says to them, "Gazalti li echad mikem mana, ve'ini yodea eizem mikem." I know for a fact that 20 years ago I stole a mana from one of you, but I don't remember which one. Our Mishnah doesn't say any response. They don't say anything. Yet, from the Amud Beis, Reb Chiya says in a Braisa that both of them said, "We also einani yodea. We don't know about this gezeira." So they don't know. What happens? Mishnah will tell us in a moment. Another case. Or he says to the two people, "One of your fathers left me a pikadon of a mana. The father, unfortunately, is no longer alive. I still have this mana, but I don't know who to give it to. Because I don't remember the father of which one of you gave me this pikadon." So what do we do in these two cases? We have a case of gezel and a case of pikadon, where a person comes on his own volition. Nobody was toveya, nobody schlepped him into bezin. And he says, "I owe one of you a mana, either because of gezel or because of pikadon. I don't know who." Says the Mishnah, "Noisim lezeh mana ulezeh mana shehoidim mipi atzmai." He has to give this one a mana, he has to give that one a mana, and therefore he's going to lose out. Because after all, he only took a mana from one of them. He doesn't know which one. Because you are hoidim mipi atzmai, you're going to have to go and give a mana to each one. The Gemara will explain in Yad Hashem, what does that mean, shehoidim mipi atzmai? What is the significance of those words? That's halacha number one of the Mishnah. Now we have halacha number two. Shnayim shefkidu eitzel echad. Zemonim zemasai. You have a shoimer, you have two owners, one owns a mana, one owns a masai, and both of them gave, Reuven gave the mana to the shoimer, and Shimon gave the masai to the shoimer, and now what happens is, a month later, or 6 months later, each one of them wants to take back their pikadon, and now the shoimer says, "I don't remember who gave me the mana, who gave me the masai." Each one of them says, "Don't you remember I gave you the masai? I gave the masai." What happens now in this case? Now, if we were going with the same logic as the first case of the Mishnah, we should say, since he doesn't know, it should be noisim lezem mana or noisim lezem masayim or lezem masayim. Shehoida, like we had the first case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "I don't know who I took the money from." You want to make sure that your yoitza give everybody the full amount, even though you're losing out. So the same halacha theoretically should apply. That what he doesn't remember who's the mana, who's the masayim, he should have to give each one masayim. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Nois lezeh mana lezeh mana." Give each one a mana because that's the minimum. Each one gave certainly a mana. Vashar, and the remaining 100, he received altogether 300. A mana plus a Messiah. That's 300 altogether. He's going to give back to Reuven one mana and to Shimon one mana. That's 200. Vashar, and the remaining 300. Vashar yimei munach ad sheyavei liyo. Which really means that if one of the two parties will ever be able to go and bring proof and evidence that they gave Masayim, then they can get it back. However, if nobody can go and prove it, we're just going to have to leave it there until the Yonavi comes and tells us who the mana really belongs to. The Gemara is going to ask as soon as we start, why is this different from the Reisha? Where the Reisha, we said that you have to give each person the full mana, because you don't remember? No. If you don't remember, pay each person a mana. Here too he didn't remember. Why don't we say he should pay each one Masayim? What is this Ashar Yei Munach? So we'll see in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosi, Rav Yosi disagrees with the Tanakam, and he says, "Imkei mahipsin Ramai." You have to go and build in some sort of deterrent for the Ramai, because only one of them gave Masai. The other one did not give Masai, he gave a mana. But that fellow apparently, unfortunately, is a shtickle crook, is a shtickle bad guy, and he says to himself, if the other person says Masayim, I'll also say Masayim. Since there'll be a dispute, since the Shomer says he doesn't remember which one is which, maybe we'll pass them like Simchas. So maybe I'll go get at least 50. You know, let me just try. Worst comes to worst. If I don't get anything, I don't get anything. And in fact, that's what the Tanakhama says. Each one will get a mana, and the third one, so the person who claimed that he had given 200, which was not true, he hasn't lost anything. He said 100, I mean, he gave 100, he gets back 100. Show him so. There's no deterrent. So if you always see, you have to go and put in the deterrent, because otherwise, my hips are ramai. Anytime you have a person who's a shtickle crook, he's going to go and say, I gave the 200. El hakol yemunachat shiavaliyo. Rather, take the entire 300, the 100 plus the 200, put it all away. And then presumably the crooked fellow, the Ramai, is going to come back and say, no, you know, I just remembered, I found in my books, I had written it down, I'm sorry I caused all of this aggravation, please give me back the 100. Oh, so this would be a nice incentive to get the Ramai to confess that in fact he only gave 100. So that's Rabbi Yossi's approach. Now, the next case in the Mishnah is an identical case with what we just spoke about, except that until now we spoke about money, and now we're going to talk about kelim. Again, you had two people, Reuben and Shimon, both of them gave to the Shomer a kli. V'chein shnei kelim. Echad yofa mana, one is worth 100. The echad yofa elef zuz, the other one is worth 1,000. Wow. So what do you think happened? The same Ramai, the same Ramai says, the 1,000 belongs to me. Figuring, what does he have to lose? Worst comes to worst, he'll get the regularly, but halavai should be able to win and get the elef zuz kli. No yisim esakot liyechem mehem, says our Mishnah, go and choose between the two, Reuven and Shimon, give one of them the cotton, the $100 keli, umetecha godol no yisim demay cotton lisheni, and from the godol, in other words, from that larger kli, Rashi says, go and break the kli into two pieces and give the smaller piece to the other individual, the smaller piece being of the same value of the other cotton that he gave to Reuven. So Reuven will get one full kli, but that's the cotton kli worth 100. And Shimon is going to get the break off kli worth 100. Vashar and the rest, yemunachat shiavaliyo. I know all of you are thinking to yourself, isn't that strange? The lashon of the Mishnah is mitrecha gadol noisin demei cotton l'sheni. So I would have thought that you take the gadol, you go and sell it, you get the $1,000, you give $100 to Shimon, and put away the other $900. But that's not what Rashi says. You see, Rashi says at the end of the Mishnah, go up all the way to the top of the Amid, mitrecha gadol, so about 10 lines to the top, yishvarenu, you should go and break it. Why does Rashi say that? Rashi says that because Mi Hashem will see at the end of today's Gemara, the bottom of the Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to ask, Maika Mashmalan, why do we repeat the same halacha twice? One about money and one about kelim. The Gemara is going to say, a chiddush legabe kelim when you break it. So Rashi is just really quoting from the Mishnah on the Amud Beis, which will get there shortly. And again, Amar Yosi, Imkei Mahiv Sadar Ramai, what you have to have an incentive for the Ramai to go and tell the truth. If you're going to tell them, Rabbi said, I'm going to put away both kelim until Mashiach comes, until the Yor Navi comes, so then the person who owned the kli cotton will hopefully fess up, and he will say, it was really, I had the cotton, and the God who belongs to the other guy. Okay, Mitchell, we'll see more about that in the Amud Beis. Zoktimah. Alma, we started off the Mishnah that someone went over to Reuven and Shimon. And he says to them, Gazalti liyacha mikem mana ve'en yodea eze mikem. I stole from one of you a mana, I cannot remember. So what did the Mishnah say? Nois lezemana ulezemana. Alma says, Imar misfeikim afkinim amayim. If I don't know, if I'm not sure, then this Gazlin, he has to go and pay twice. He has to pay 100 to him and he has to pay 100 to him. Even though he is the Murakama, he's the Muchsik in the money, but Misveikam Afkinim of money, you have to go and cough up 100 to him, 100 to him. V'le'yamrinim, we don't say Ukim Amoyin Mecheskes Mare. Why don't we just simply say, since we don't know who deserves to get the 100, leave the money Mecheskes Mare in the Cheskes HaGazlin. And he shouldn't have to give either one the 100, because neither one of them is able to say that the 100 belongs to them. So he should just hold on to it until somebody proves one way or the other. So we see that Mitzvaykam of Kinim Amayim. Or a mini, let's go to the second case of the Mishnah. Shlaim Shevkido Eitzel Echad, Zeman v'Zemasayim. Zoi Mishalim Asayim, Zoi Mishalim Asayim. No Yisrael Zeman, Ul Zemana, Vashayim Emunachai Cheyov Eliyo. Why does it say in the Mishnah, in the second case, just like we said in the first case, since he doesn't know to whom he owes the 200, let him go and take out 200 from his pocket, in other words, an extra 100 from his pocket, and pay each one of them Messiah. The one that's the real Messiah will get his Messiah, and the one that is the Rami that says Messiah, okay, what can we do? We see from the Reish of the Mishnah, if you don't know, then Mafkinan Mamoina Misafik. So why don't we say then the Sefer as well? He should have to go and give the full amount to each one. Why Ashayim Emunach HaChiyavaliyom? Amalei. So the Gemara answers, Pikodna Gezel Karamis, you're asking Akasha from Gezel on Pikodain. Gezel Yabri Sura. In the Reish of the Mishnah we're talking about Gezel Kansura Bonon. Then the Chacham put a Knas on him. Mister, you stole the money. You don't remember who you stole from? Tough luck. You're going to have to pay each one the full 100. Because of the Sefer, Tuliyavadi Sur, he didn't do any Isser. Unfortunately, he doesn't keep good records, and his memory is faulty. If the Katsura button is no Kenas, pay each one the 100. One of them you took 200, so you put the extra 100 away. So on the surface, this teretz makes a lot of sense. But there's one major, major problem, and that is the Reish of the Mishnah is not only a Gezel case. Remember, in the Mishnah we had two cases in the Reish. If you go back for a moment, it says, Omer Shnaim Gezat V'yachem Mikem Mono V'en Yedea Eze Mikem. Oy, Ogav Shalachem Mikem Hifkili Mono. He gave me a Pikodoy, and I don't remember which one. So you have to go and pay a Mono to each one. So you see, even by a Pikodoy, where the Gemara just says, Loikon Suhu Rabbanan, you still have to go and give 100 to each one. So how come the Reisha by Pikon you have to give 100 to each one, and the Sefer by the Pikodoin, you only give the 100 and you leave that second 100 for Eliyo Anavi? Zoktimor Varomi Pikon na Pikon Varomi Gezel Agethel. So the Gemara now repeats what we just said. Pikon na Pikon Niktani Reisha. What does it say in the Reisha? Now we leave out the Gezel case, we go straight to the Pikodin case. Somebody gave you, one of your fathers gave me 100, I don't remember who. No, he has to pay each one the full 100. Or many, Shnaim Shevkidu, and we don't repeat the whole story because we already know it from our Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? Shnaim Shevkidu Eitzel Echad Zeh Manu V'Zeh Masayim. You pay each one a mana, and the extra 100 Vashar Yemunach. Why don't we say in our Mishnah, let him cough up another 100 from his pocket and pay everybody so everybody gets the full amount? It's a Chastir Pikodna Pikodah. So you can't give the Teretz anymore Gezel Kantzul, Pikod Loi Kantzul. We're talking apples to apples now. Pikodn to Pikodah. Amarava Nasa Reisha Nasa Kemishev Kiduloi Bishnei Krichos the Havalele Medik. The Reisha is like a case of two people giving separate piktoinois to the Shomer in separate Krichos, in separate bundles, that the person, the Shomer, who has those two bundles, he should be medactic. Who did he get the bundle from? Now when Rava says this, he doesn't literally mean that the case is like Shnei Krichos, because remember the Reish is only talking about one individual that gave him the Bikon. It was either Ruvain's father or it was Shimon's father. That's just a Lashon. Nasa Kimi, it's as if. What he means to say, the thrust of Rava's argument is that a shomer has a certain degree of achrayus, of responsibility, of making sure who gave him the pikadon in the first place, and therefore to whom is he going to return that pikadon eventually. If you're talking about that one person gave him the pikadon, he doesn't remember who, so it's like getting two separate pikdonis and two separate krichos, that he should, you know, tag each one appropriately, and remember that this one was Reuven and this one was Shimon, and in our case, he should remember whose father gave him the money. So he should be medactic. He wasn't medactic, he's got to pay 100 to each one. But Seifa Nasa, Kemishav Kido Leiva Krach Echad, it's as if both of them gave their money together in one bundle. He doesn't mean literally in one bundle, as you'll see. To Lehavale the Medic, he was not required to be medactic. So what do you mean in one bundle? Ki going to Hefkidu Travayu Bahadi Hadodi Bechad Zimna. Ah, our Mishnah didn't tell us that, but now the Gemara is making an ukimta in the Mishnah, that when it says in the Mishnah, Shnaim Shefkidu Eitzel Echad Zem, one of his Amasayim, it's talking about that they both came in the same time. 8:30 on Friday morning in the middle of the daf, they came over to the Shomer, this one gave him 100, and this one gave him 200. They weren't standing one in back of each other like standing online. They were both standing there at the counter in front of him. One put down 100, the other put down 200. And says the Gemara, the Omelahu, says the Shomer to the two of them, Antku feichu lekaptisu ahadodi. I saw that the two of you were not makbid. You counted out the money, you put it on the table, on the counter, and you gave it to me. And neither of you said, no, keep it confidential. It's just between the two of us. To the contrary, you gave me the bundle of money in front of the other guy. And therefore I said to myself, Madach, you two apparently are chaverim. You must know each other because you're not at all concerned about sharing and putting the money at the same time. So if you're not going to be makbid, I'm not kapidna. I should be makbid. Avadanish. I mean, you know each other and you feel that each one is honest. So why should I be makbid? So therefore, in the middle case of the Mishnah now, when each one of them says, I gave you the Messiah, the Shomer says, I cannot believe it. These two fellows, I thought that, you know, each one is relies on the other for his trustworthiness, for his honesty, for his integrity, and therefore I didn't really write down exactly who belongs to what. I figured, you know, when they come to pick it up, each one will know. He gave the 100, he gave the 200. Mekaimush angefala. And never occurred to me that one of them will now be a Ramai. He's going to want to hurt his friend. How can you do that? I mean, two friends coming at the same time. So therefore says the Mishnah, under those circumstances, he can give each one 100 vashayim imunach achiyovi Eliyahu. So that was the teretz that we gave the Gabi Pikon Pikon. However, Rami Gezel Agezel, but you have another steer. What's the other steer? K'toni Hacha, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Om l'shnayim gezalt liyechem mikem on v'en yedei ezem mikem. I stole 100 from one of you guys. Oy, ov shalechem mikem hifkeli mon v'en yedei ezehu. We don't really need this case of the Pikadon because we're only focusing on the Gezel now. However, since we have to Firos, we have to finish off the statement, so you can really put in parentheses the Pikadon. We're only focusing now on the Gezel case. So it says, by Gezel, what's it in? Nois l'zemana l'zemana. Wait for a minute. I'll ask you a kasha from a northern Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Masechtas Yevamos, where the Mishnah says, Gozel echa mechamisha ve'enu yedea eze mehen. We have Mezeman Goza. We have over here a situation where a person is now getting close to Yemei Elul and the Aseres Yemei Shiva, and he says, you know what? It's time to do tshuva. So there are five people that are gathered in a room, and then there's a sixth person, and that sixth person is a self-acknowledged Gozlan, and he says, Rabbi Isai, I stole from one of you five, but I don't remember Ezeman Goza from whom I stole the money. So what do you think the five people said? Zo'imer oisi gozal, zo'imer oisi gozal. And each one says, you stole from me. Now what do you do now? Now based on our Mishnah at the very top, the top Mishnah the ratio was, you know, virtually identical. There weren't five people, there were two people. Umlishtan gazalt liyach and mikem one of any days and mikem. I don't remember, I don't know. So what did the Mishnah say? Noisin lizem mana lizem mana. You have to go and give each one a full mana. What did it say over here? I would have thought the Mishnah would say, you stole from one out of five people, and each one says you stole from me, that you should have to go and give each one 100 and pay 500 altogether. So I would have thought. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah. It says, Meiniach gezele beineyum umistalik. Just put down the money on the table, and as Barry always likes to say, and mach apleta, and run away. You figure it out. You five guys, fight it out. Fight it out physically, fight it out in court. Do whatever you want. I only stole 100. Four of you are liars, baloney. I put down 100, and mistalik tibriptach. What do we see from that other Mishnah in the name of Rafatin? Al misveka limafkinan mamayna. Just because there's a suffix as to whom he owes the money, he doesn't have to pay each one 100, 100, 100, and 100. Yet in our Mishnah, we say you do. Vamrinan in that other Mishnah, we say ekum oikim mamayn becheskis mare. You leave the money in becheskis mare. In other words, he only has to pay out 100, he doesn't have to pay out 500. Yet our Mishnah says you have to pay out to each one individually. So chagrei sestira. But the Gemara immediately tells us, one second, and our Mishnah doesn't give us a name. It just simply says, om lishnaim gezalti, you gotta pay mana lezeh, mana lezeh. That other Mishnah has a name, it has Rabta Arfin. How do we know that our Mishnahs go according to Rabta Arfin? Maybe it's going according to somebody else. Who's that somebody else? Our Mishnah doesn't, our Gemara doesn't tell us, but Rashi fills in the blank, because if you look up the Mishnah, Masechtas Yevamos, Rav Akiva respectfully disagrees. If you want, Rashi summarizes Rav Akiva, Rashi in the middle of the Amud, Umasnisin Dehocha Mimayid Rav Tarfenhi, it's not middle of the Rashi, it's the middle of the Amud. What does Rashi say? The Tikshiloch, you're asking Akasha that our Mishnah is Rav Tarfen, maybe our Mishnah like Rav Akiva, the Palignami Bahi. He argues with Rav Tarfen in that Mishnah in Yevamos. The Oyman, he says, Loizu haderech mitziyasa midei aveira. That's not how you get a kapora on your aveiros. After all, he's a gazlan who is confessing. You want to get a full a kapora from the Rabbi Shalom. Loizu haderech mitziyasa achi yishalim zeh lechol echad liyachad. Oh, tak in that Mishnah in Yevamos, Rav Akiva, hold, you have to pay each one $100. You've got to be out of pocket $400. He stole 100 and he's going to have to pay five people. So maybe that's the town of our Mishnah. Omer l'shnayim gezalti li'echad mikem, and I don't remember who. Nois l'zeman l'zeman. Oh, so our Mishnah could be word for word. That's Rav Akiva. The only difference between our Mishnah and Mishnah Yevamos is our Mishnah is talking about two guys, and the Yevamos is talking about five people. But otherwise, we heard the same thing. So Frank Timara, umimai the masisim d'ocher tarfini. I don't understand the premise of your kasha. Maybe our mission is Rabbi Kiva, not Rabbi Tarfin. What's up there, Brother Shai?
No, I'm just trying to understand. There's Amma Mishpeka Lafkinim Amona, and then there's Ramin and Uki Mamona because it's Mori. But it's not because it's Mori. The thief has to give it up. It's not like he's holding on to the money. He doesn't have to give the money to Zed, money to Zed. But it's not that he's holding this car. He puts it on the table or he does whatever.
The lashon ukim moin becheskis mori is because in our Mishnah we say v'loy amrinan ukim moin becheskis mori. If you go back, put one finger over here, go back to the beginning of the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. The Gemara was medayik from the first case of the Mishnah that when someone confessed that he owed one of the two a mana because he stole, says the Mishnah, you have to pay each one a mana. He only stole one mana. Why does he have to pay two manas? Said the Gemara, Alma misveika mafkinan mamayna. Since I have a suffix to whom he owes the money, what do we say? You have to shell out not just the 100 that you stole 20 years ago or whenever, but you have to pay out another 100. For the Amrina, we don't say uki mamayna mecheskes mare. Keep the other 100. Since I have a suffix, only put out 100 on the table and keep the second one. No, we don't say that. You gotta go and cough up for both of them, 100. However, in that case, by Reb Tarfin, we say it's the other way around. He says, Gozer Echa Michamisha, Lefi, our Mishnah, if our Mishnah is Reb Tarfin, then our Mishnah should go and say, you have two people, I don't know, take $100, put it on the table and say, Hebra, here is your 100, and you figure it out, Umistalik. That's not what it says. In our Mishnah, you have to go and be Moitzi Mammoin from its Mori. Mori means the person that currently owns it, and that is the Gazel. In that other Mishnah, we say no. Even though this is Suffolk, you don't go and say you have to cough up 500. Vamrinan Oikim Mammoin Mechesed Mori. Leave the other 400 in the Chazaka of the Balgos. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Frank Dimori Maidi Masisa Rabmeyahi. Reb Tarfin, maybe our Mishnah is Reb Akiva. Says him, I'll tell you why I believe our Mishnah is Reb Tarfin. Tiktoni Allah Tiyahi, in Mesechus Yevamos, there's a braisa appended to that Mishnah there, where it says in that Mishnah, Moide Reb Tarfin, even though Reb Tarfin says in the case of the five, Meiniach Gzeil V'neu Mestalik, just put 100 on the table and run away. However, the braisa says, there in Yevamos, that moider of tarfin ba'oyim mishnayim gezalti li echa mikem mona ve'eini idea eizem mikem. Hey, that lashon is just like our Mishnah. Go back to the top of the Amud. Mishnayim gezalti li echa mikem mona ve'eini idea eizem mikem. What does Reb Tarfin hold? Shenoisim lezemana lezemana, that you have to give a mana to each one. So now, if you'd like, the Gemara is no longer focusing on the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Yevamos. It's really lechayra stira Reb Tarfin and Reb Tarfin. Because in the Mishnah in Yevamos, Reb Tarfin says you steal from five people, just leave the gzeila b'neim umasal. Just put down $100 and flee. Yet in the Brice it says that Reb Tarfin is moida, moida meaning he agrees to Reb Akiva, that if he says to two people, gzeila b'neim umasal, and I don't know whom, give him a mana and give him a mana. So why by the five people you don't say, give him a mana, 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 to all five? It's the chastira of Reb Tarfin on Reb Tarfin. Zakti Yimara, Sinishme. Hasam de katovi lei, hacha babalotzis yidei, shemoyim. Aha. It's a very simple answer. The question is, are they bringing him to court, or is he confessing on his own? When he is being brought to court, then he only has to pay once, because he tells the Bezdin, I don't know these people. I only stole from one of the five. I didn't steal from all five. It's not fair that I have to go and pay 500. I'm just going to put $100 here on the table. You, Bezdin, and the five Tovim, figure it out who it belongs to. What you're going to do, Bezdin, is really no longer my concern. Here's the 100, umistalik, and I leave the premises. Now let the rest of the notary be between the other five. Who gets it? Should they split it 20 each? Should we go and find that one of them is lying? Give it 25 to the other four. You guys figure it out. In such a case, says Reb Tarfin, meniach gzeila b'neim umistalik. Masha enkein, in the first case of our Mishnah, and in the case of the Brice and Yevamos, which the Gemara said that's Reb Tarfin, right? We're talking about a person that wants to now get a kapara from the Rabbi Yishalayim. He says, Rabbi Yishalayim, I stole money a year ago, 10 years ago, and I realized that I erred in my ways, ashamnu baganu, salachti, pashati, etc. And therefore I want to get a kapara. The only way to get a full kapara is to give everybody their money. Everybody their money. Ah, so therefore, if you go back to the first case of the Mishnah, in the first case of the Mishnah, Om Mishnayim Gezalti Liachem Mikem, Mana Ve'ei Yedea Eizem Mikem. They didn't say a word. He comes from his own free heart, from his own free will. He wants to do tshuva. And he says to them, I stole from one of you guys. We don't even see that they speak up. Zizom Duch Garnish. In fact, they're probably flabbergasted that this person is now confessing to a gzeila that happened years ago, which they don't even have any recollection. They may not even have known about it. Vice and Gornish. They say nothing. You have to pay each one. After all, The whole purpose of your going over to them to confess is because you want to get tshuva. You want a kapara. You want to do tshuva and get a kapara. Give each one. However, the case of, one second. In the other case, when we're talking about the other gezel, when gozel echad mechamisha, each one is being teveya. Ze oimer oisiga, ze oimer oisiga. You stole from me, you stole from me, you stole from me. Oh, he's not coming to day shemayim. He just wants to do whatever the halacha requires. The halacha requires, according to Tarfin, meniach gezel benayim, umestalik, you only have to pay once and not more. Says, you are a dekanami, and I'll bring you a raya that this is the emestik of pshat. Diktoni, we noticed, or we noted, at the beginning of the Mishnah, that it said he has to give lezemana, lezemana, shahoidem mipi atzmai. What does that mean, shahoidem mipi atzmai? Zokti Yamara, because they were not toiveya, nobody's asking for the funds. He's coming from his own free will to do tshuva. He wants to go and satisfy the Rabbeinu Shalom that he's really doing tshuva in Gansen and Gansen. He wants a full kapara. Oh, in such a case, nobody's being toiveya. But what's the day shemoyim? You have to give the full amount, 100, 100, to both individuals. Shemamina. So bottom line is, what's the difference between the two cases? It's simple. One case we're talking about meikar hadin, and the other case we're talking about, if you will, lifnim yishur hadin. But lots of sidei shemayim. To be yoytze shulchan aruch down here below, since nobody's being toveya, all you'd have to do is put down the 100 on the table, just like in the second case. Put it on the table and say, I only stole 100. I didn't steal more than 100. You guys fight it out as to who the nigzal is. However, if he's coming on his own, he's not going to ikar d'din, he's coming with lifnim yishur hadin. He wants to go and get a full kapara from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. The only way to do it is give each one $100. Any questions? Hearing none. Omamai. Hosam katovale v'haloi matoyim. Okay, so now, in the middle of the Mishnah, about the case where we had the Shnayim Shefkidu Eitzel Echad, Zemon of Zemosai. This one says 100, and this one says, Rashi says they're not going on the Mishnah, it's going back on the Gozel Echad Mechamisha, meaning the Mishnah in the Sechtes Yevamos. You have Gozel Echad Mechamisha, he sold from one of the five, the Eini Yodei Eizem Mehen, he doesn't remember this from whom, Zoimer Oisi Gozel, Zoimer Oisi Gozel, Meniach Gezel Beneimu Mesalik. So Frank Timara, Hosem de Kotovile, they are each being Tevea $100, all five of them. Valoi Matoyin, what does the Gozel say in respect, in other words, what's his answer? Rav Yehuda Amarav Haloi Shoitzik. When he hears the five saying, you owe me, he says nothing. Rav Masna Amarav, and Machoikin Tin Rav Yehuda Amarav, Rav Masna Amarav, Haloi Tzevea. He is screaming. What is he screaming? Says Rashi, top Rashi, Tzevea Om Lechol Echad Eini Makircha. I don't recognize you. I don't know who you are. Okay. Why does the second man, the Yomit, say he's Sedech? Havel Shtika Gehoida. If he is Shoisik, if he's quiet, it's as if he's Moidah. So then he would have to pay to each one of the five. Shtika Gehoida. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, each one says, you owe me $100, and because you stole it from me. And he says, I don't remember, but he's Shoisik, he doesn't respond. Then he'd have to pay each one. That's why the Mishnah there is talking about the Tzeveach, and he's screaming, no! I don't know you! I never met you! I don't know what you're talking about.
Why do you have to pay 100 to each one? Avoti Machavel Varaya, each one has a claim. Let them bring the aid of the Derdov, they're the ones stolen
from. You've heard, of course, of the principle of Shtika Kaidah, and once.
Yes.
Okay, so once Shtika is Kaidah, we know the famous rule. So it's as if he himself brought 100 Adam saying, it's true, what you said is Abbas. So you don't have to bring separate Adam. His Haidah, that is the Hadoas Adas. Hadoas Badin, Kimeya Adam Dami. So getting back to the Gemara, says this first Mandiyamah, he has to be Tzeveach, because if he's Shoisik, he'd have to pay. U Mandiyamah, Haloi Shoisik, Shtika Dahachal, Lav Kaidah Dami, Lav Kaidah Hu. Normally, when you have a shtika koido, you're right. You're shoisik, it's as if you are confessing or acknowledging, yah, 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 it's emes. Otherwise, why isn't he screaming? However, in our case, Matzi Omele, Haydishtiki, Vichol Chad Bechad, Tamina Vilma Hayhu. The reason why I was Shoisik is not because I am agreeing, I am being Shoisik because it's a Shema. I really don't know, I don't know for sure. I cannot say to the other person, you're wrong, no, it cannot be. Because maybe Taka does owe the money after all. That being the case, the shtika over here is not an implicit hoidah. The shtika is really, I don't know. I can't say yes, I can't say no. I just don't remember. Let's continue investigating and exploring the other Mishnah. Just put the gzela down and you leave. It sounds like, and this is the way we explained it on the Amud Aleph, you put down the $100 and you just macha pleita run away and let those five fight over the $100, which means perhaps even a physical fighting over the 500. What is this referring to? This is a halacha that we had earlier on, back on Daf Chof Hei, where if a person was walking down and next to a wall, and he sees next to the wall there were goizolois mikushorais. Goizolois mikushorais means pigeons that were tied one to the other. So it says over there, since there is no simon, because the way the person tied the pigeons, that was standard, and therefore, minyan we have a simon, and the kesher we have a simon, and they were able to be medada, they were able to go and hop around and skip around, so mokum we have a simon. So Gemara says the best thing is, don't touch these gezolos v'kusharis, just leave them there, because presumably the person who owned them, he left them there. So we call hinuach. And even if I'm not sure whether he left them there or not, said Rav, kol safek hinuach l'chila lo yito. Don't take them, just leave them there. What's the reason why we should leave them there? So Rashi says, like we learned back in Daf Chof Hei, because since the person doesn't have any simanim, if you're going to go and take it, they will not be able to go and return and say, hey, I lost my gezolos mikushares. Do you have a simon? No. So the person is going to be miyayish and he's going to lose these gezolos. Rather leave them where they were, and then if in fact he remembers, uh-oh, I left my gezolos next to that wall, he'll come back for them, and they'll be there, and they'll take them home, and Baruch Hashem. So he will not have lost them. So if you have a safek hinuach, don't touch them. What happens vim notal? What happens if he did take them? Lo yachzer, he cannot return them until someone gives a proper simon. Because if he can't give a simon, and you give it back to Reuven, maybe Shimon will come 5 minutes later and say, those were my gezolos mikushas. Vim notal yachzer. So Rashi says, our case over here is not a safek hinuach. He put it down in on the table. So here it says, Rashi mitas, akolshke. Chavada, if you know for sure it's hinuach, what's the din? Then lo yito. So what the Gemara is saying is over here, in our situation, why do we allow this person just to go and put the money down, and then the other five should go and grab it? We said that a safek hinuach is not allowed to touch. When I have a vadi hinuach, it's certainly not allowed to touch. These five people, chayra, should have no right to go and take away the money for themselves, because it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the other guy. So, ibazoi, what you're doing, if you will, you're like being machshel them by putting down the money and enticing all of them to start grabbing and start fighting. They have no right to go and take hinuach. So, amrav safra, v'yaniach. What it means, v'yaniach? So it's not like we learned until now that you go and put it down in front of the five and you run, but rather you do that in front of Besdin. If you want to look at the Rashi, Umr of Safra v'yaniach, the Rashi is right before middle of the Amud, Umr of Safra v'yaniach, says Rashi, Havi v'toni mistalik, lav v'lishkelu inhu v'lezlu. It's not that they should now go and chap and schnell try to get that $100 which is on the table. No. And not that he should leave it and be mistalik and run away. Really, this v'aniach is like we've said in the Mishnah, we've said at the beginning of the Masechta, Yeimunach ad sheyavoy Eliyahu. He should hold on to that 100. So what means by mistalik? Mistalik means silikadinhu. V'aniach gizeilu befneim bebezdin. What the silik that we're talking about is not that he physically runs away. He says to Bezin, Bezin, it's true, I stole from one of the five. I don't remember who one of the five is. And each one is screaming, Shali, Shali, Shali. I don't know. Here I'm prepared to go and give the $100 to the right guy. If you can find a disproof who it belongs to, by all means. However, since they apparently cannot work it out, so therefore, Silika Dinhu, V'yidiach Gizele Befneim, V'bezen, V'yoymar, Biriru, Shalmihu, V'yitar. You, Bezdin, I did my part. I gave you the 100. Now let them fight over that 100 and be mevar who belongs to. Umistalik min hadin, and therefore he leaves the bezin, so to speak. Vagzela yaniach biyodei atchiyovei eliho. The Rashi on the surface seems to be a little bit inconsistent, because Rashi says you put the gzela in front of them, in front on the bezin, and he leaves and he says, I'm no longer party to the case. But then Rashi continues on, he should have munach biyodei until yovei eliho. So either Rashi means vagzeli yaniach biyodei means biyad habezdin, or what it means is that if the bezin is not able to be mevarer who the real owner is of this mana, because the five keep on fighting and no one has any proof, so then the bezin would return it to the gazlan and say to him, you hold on to it achiyovei eliho. But bottom line is, says our Gemara, when we learned meniach gzeil v'neim and mistalik, don't think that means, okay, now we're all going to jump on each other and grab the 100. What it really means is that he's going to initially come to court, leave the money in front of the bezin and say, here's the 100, I'm out of the case, you can dismiss me because I did my part, I did my share, here's the 100. These five people are fighting, let them fight among themselves. And if ultimately there is no answer, then yaniach, either the bezin will hold on to it or he'll hold on to it, at sheyovei eliho. We continue on. Amalei Abaye l'Rav. Remember we spoke about on the Amud Aleph Reb Tarfin, who was in the Mishnah and the Braisa. However, we said that there's also Reb Akiva, and remember we looked at the Rashi, and the Rashi brought Reb Akiva. Me, Amar Reb Akiva, loizu aderech mitziyosu midei aveira, at sheyishan gzeilechol chad v'chad. Again, we had a situation of five people claiming that the Gazlan stole from them. He acknowledged that he stole from one of the five. I don't know which one. So what did Reb Tarfin say? What you have to do is, like we just learned a moment ago, leave the money in front of the five, in front of Bezdin. They'll try to fight it out legally, and whoever wins, wins, and otherwise, Rabbi Kiva said, no, you can't do that. Since he acknowledges that he stole from one of the five, and he doesn't remember, he's got to be Meshalim Gzele Chol Chad V'Chad, he has to go and pay each one the $100. So what do we see according to Rabbi Kiva? He disagrees with Reb Tarfin, and he holds, he says that he has to cough up 500, even though he only stole 100. He's going to have to go out of pocket 400 more, and that's the rule according to Rabbi Kiva. You don't say, no, even though it's a suffix. I'll ask you a question now from a brand new, this is a Mishnah and Masechta's Bava Basra. And there in Bava Basra, as you know, when we get to it in Yetzer Hashem, we're going to have all types of machloikis in about Yerusha, about Nachla. We're going to have a Perek Misha Menz, and then after that in Yesh Nochlin. So we have a typical case that the Mishnah discusses. Nofel Abayis Ola V'al Imoy. Nebuch Rachmon Litzlan, there was a building collapse. You remember we had a building collapse in Florida a year ago, maybe it's already getting closer to 2 years, in Surfside. Nebuch Rachmon Litzlan. So, the Nofel Abayis Ola V'al Imoy on a person and on his mother. Okay, so you have a mother and a son together. Nebuch, the building collapses, both of them die. The question is, who died first? Did the son die first, or did the mother die first? What difference does it make? So Rashi says, because the mother had nechasim, she had nechse mulut, and now somebody has to yarshim. Since the Mishnah doesn't discuss anything about a husband, apparently the husband had already either given her a divorce, or the husband had died years ago. Okay, so now the mother has Nechsim Uluk. And everybody would like to get those Nechsim Uluk because those were valuable real estate assets. So Yoshia ben Oimrim. Now, the Ben over here had no children. Apparently he was still single, no children whatsoever. He did have, however, brothers, or better said, half-brothers. The half-brothers were from other mothers. Same father, but different mothers. So now, she, the woman that passed away in the collapse, has her mishpacha, for instance, her brothers, as well as this son. And the son himself has no children, he has the mother, and he has his own brothers, half-brothers. The question is, so what is the fact pattern? What does everybody say? So now for the bias, all of y'all imay. Yorushia ben Oimrim ha'aim meisari shayna. Mami Nebuch passed away first. And therefore, when she passed away, who is the closest Yorish? The son. So the son got all of that Yerusha. And Nebuch, the son, passed away a minute later. So now all of his Yorishim, who are his Yorishim? His brothers. They're not related to her, because they happen to be half-brothers from the same father, but different mothers. So therefore, they say, we claim the Nechsim Uluk of Imay, of our stepmother, because she passed away first, it passed to the Ben, we are the Yorshim of the Ben, and therefore we get those Nechsim Uluk. On the other hand, the Yorshia Eim Oimrim, her brothers say, no, HaBen Meis Rishon, he died first, and therefore he never received those Yorshe, the Nechsim Uluk. Those Nechsim Uluk stayed with the mother. And since we happen to be the Yorshim of the mother, no other Yorshim. The only Yorshim she had was that son. Never that son passed away. Therefore, we are by default, the next line of Yorshim. We're the brothers. So we want to go in Yorshim, those Nechsim Uluk. Now, there's no way of proving the case, Rabbi Sai. What's it then? Eilub Eilu Moidim Shiach Loiku. Elu ve'elu, says Rashi, is referring to Beshamay and Beiselu, who have a machloikis elsewhere there in Perek Misha Meis in Baba Basra. But in this case, everybody would hold Yachloiku that you go and split it down the middle. Because there's no way of proving who passed away first. So either they get So both the brothers of the mother and the brothers of the son will get half of the Yerusha. The Amar of Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, Moidani Bezu, in this case, I disagree, don't do Yachloiku, B'shan Nechasim B'chas Kasa, leave the Nechasim where they were. Where is that? Nechasim B'chas Kasa. So Rashi says that when you look up Perek Misha Meis, you'll see over there, this is in fact a Machloikis Amayroim as to what means Nechasim B'chas Kasa. I believe what the machloikus over there is. One says, the chasim ches kasim, since these were nechsim muluk, we can assume that this is therefore from her father. Not we can assume. Nechsim muluk means that she received it from her father, and perhaps from her grandfather, from her mishpacha. So the chazak is, leave it with her mishpacha. Don't give it to the son's family, which is not her mishpacha at all. That's one side of cheskasin. Or the other cheskasin is that under normal circumstances when a person passes away, who is the immediate heir, the immediate Yairish? The son. Oh, so it's his chazaka that this Nechsim Uluk should have flowed to him. So it flows to him even though Nebuchadnezzar passed away a minute later. And then his brothers get it. Anyway, Rabbi Kiva says, don't say Yachloiku, benachasim cheskasin. Ah, so now the Gemara says, if that's the case, let's return to our situation where we have the Gazlan who stole one from five. And what does Rabbi Kiva say? He has to pay each and every one of them. So Alma, what did the Gemara say five lines earlier? Misveka mafkina mamayna. You have a suffix you don't know for sure. Take the mammon out of its chazaka. Don't say, well, he owns 500, leave the 500 with him. No, I have a suffix. He's got to cough up 500. Sorry, you got to pay. Here too, why does Rabbi Kiva say that a chosin b'ches kasan? In our Mishnah, or the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva from Yevamis, we're saying that Rabbi Kiva holds, you don't say the money is b'ches kasan. but rather you uproot the money and give it to the five. Yet in that other case, you say, the chasim b'ches kasim. So isn't there a seer of Akiva and Rabbi Akiva? Amalei answered him, Sinishve, Hosam Shema v'shema. Gozal, Echad Mechamish is Bari v'shema. What does that mean? In the case of the mother and the son that passed away, there's no one that can declare with absolute certainty one way or the other. Nobody knows except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu who passed away first and who passed away second. It's a clear mystery, a suffix that will never be able to be pushed. So since it's Shem V'Shema, says Rabbi Kiva, Nechos B'Ches Kasa, leave the Nechos the way they were in the original Chazaka, don't go and play with them, no Yachloiku business, Nechos B'Ches Kasa. However, the Gozal Echa Mechamisha, Bari V'Shema, what means Bari V'Shema? The Gozal says, I don't know. But each one of the five says, Shali, 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 Shali. Each one says, you stole from me. Oh, each one says from me, so you have a Bari B'Shema, Bari Adif, and therefore he has to pay each one of the five. So I understand Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Kiva. By Shema B'Shema, Cheskosim. We have Bari B'Shema, no. Bari Adif, you have to pay out to each one. Frank, more about Masis and Lihacha. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Back to the very beginning of the Mishnah, he said to two people, Gozalti liyachem mikem mana, I stole from one of you, but I don't know from whom. And, as you remember the Mishnah, both of them didn't say a word. They were quiet the whole time. Going back to the Mishnah, Om lishnayim gozalti liyachem mikem mana, then you day eizem mikem, what's the din? Noisle zem mana, zem mana. There was no teveya. Nobody said bari, nothing. So it's what we call a shema situation. Neither of them demanded payment because they didn't remember. He didn't remember. But masis nehach om l'shem gedalti yech mikem mana. The shem v'shemu uktani noisle zem mana zem mana. And therefore we see that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that even in a Shema V'Shema situation, you don't say Hanachosim V'Ches Kosim, but you have to cough up the money. So why does it say in our Mishnah, so why do we say in our Mishnah Shema V'Shema, you cough up, and there by the Shema V'Shema, by the Imoy and the Ben, you say Hanachosim V'Ches Kosim. Frank Yimara, we might Rabbi Kiva here. Why do you say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva? In fact, if you remember, we said on the Amud Aleph that our Mishnah is Rabbi Tarfin. And now we're saying the Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. Says, Imor Yo-Yo, the ratio of our Mishnah goes according to both Rabbi Tarfin and Rabbi Kiva. There's no machloikis. Oh, how do you say that? Viktoni Allah Dahi. And now, remember, this is the Braisa that we quoted on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. That after we had the Mishnah about the five, where Rabbi Tarfin says that you meniach es agzele v'nei and umistalik, but moider b'kibah Rabbi Tarfin, sorry, moider Rabbi Tarfin, but uim alishnai, because out liyach mikem mana, v'ein yedei eisem mikem, these noisem mana lezeh, umana lezeh. The Rabbi Tarfin agreed that you have to go and pay each one individually. Why? In the case of the five, he just puts it down on the table. Why here do you say moider Tarfin, he has to give each one individually? So you remember the Gemara said of the Amud Aleph, because it's talking about Lotzeis Yedei Shemayim. I just point that out because the Gemara is going to repeat that again in another few lines. But the point that the Gemara is trying to make now is, since it says Moider Reb Tarfin, Boim L'Shnayim Gezalt Yechem Kem Mana, that you have to pay each one the mana. No, who is Reb Tarfin being Moider to? L'man Moider. Obviously he's being Moider Reb Akiva Bar Plukte. Because we said in the Mishnah Yevamis, you have a machlok between Reb Tarfin and Rabbi Akiva. So there, in the case of the five, where each one said, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, said Rabbi Tarfin, Meniach Gezel Veinenu Mestalik, just put it down on the table in front of Bezdin, and let the Bezdin work it out. But Rabbi Akiva said, no, Loizu Haderech Moitziyosu Midei Aveira, he has to pay each one individually. But that was the Machlokes by the five. Here, Moider of Tarfin to Rabbi Akiva, in the case of the two, Baim Lishnayim, Gizalt Liyachem Mikem, Ven Yerdeya, that he has to pay each one. So we see therefore that the case of that Braisa, which is identical to the case of our Mishnah, Lishnayim Gizalt Liyachem Mikem Mana, that you have to pay out each one, the Tan of our Mishnah is both Rabbi Tarfin and Rabbi Akiva, because there's no machloikis by the two that you have to pay out to each one the mana. Okay. So now that we've established that our Mishnah is Takar Rav Akiva, and we have the other case of the Ein and the Ben, also Rav Akiva, it says the Feirish, Om Rav Akiva, Moidani Bezu. So in the case of the Ein and the Ben, Rav Akiva said, and the Chasim, Cheskasa. Yet in our Mishnah, which was a similar Shema Vishema situation, here we say you have to pay each one individually. How do you know our Mishnah is talking about Shema? Maybe our Mishnah is talking about a Bari Vishema. So tomorrow, remember we looked back at the Mishnah already a few times. It says in the beginning of the Mishnah, and then it says, oi, that I took a pikadon from one of your fathers. We don't see that the other people react. They are totally silent, not a word. So we see, obviously, so that's why we assume it's Shema v'Shema. He says, I don't know, and they didn't say anything, so they don't know. But even more than that, Rambchia, when he was learning the Mishnah, he added an appendage to the Mishnah, and he said, when the first person confessed that Gazalti mi'achem mikem mana, ze oimer ein yodea v'ze oimer yodea, each one said, nem tudam, I don't know. So you see from that clearly, it's a Shema B'Shema situation. So Frank Timon, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva. In the case of the Shema B'Shema by the Aim and the Ben, says Rabbi Kiva, Chosim B'Ches Chosim. In our case, however, when we have the same Shema B'Shema, I'm in it. We don't say Nechosim B'Ches Chosim. In our case, we say each one he has to pay out separate. Why don't you say Nechosim B'Ches Chosim, even in the Cheskes HaGazlin, he shouldn't have to pay more than 100. Why does he have to pay each one? So the Choyra, I have Astira, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva. One second. Ephri Markinala, don't you remember we already answered on the Amid Aleph? But Balat Tishidei Shemoyim, Abadam Ikadadina, Rabbi Kiva holds, hold on to your funds, and Chosim Cheskasa, you don't have to pay out a penny. However, because you want to be Yotzei Yedei Shemayim, no, then you have to pay each one separately to make sure that you Yotzei Shemayim to get a kapara from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Somebody had a question.
Yeah, I had problems with this. First of all, it's right on a little bit of a problem. We had for Rabbi Kiva Shemayim Chosim Cheskasa.
Right. Correct.
Why is it considered that the cousin is in her possession and then it goes to her brothers? Is that what we're saying is considered that with the cousin?
So you'll recall.
Being transferred to the son?
You'll recall when we said Nechosim Cheskasim, we pointed out that Rashi says that in Masechta Bava Basra there's a machloikis. What does that mean when Rabbi Kiva said Nechosim Cheskasim? My recollection is, my faint recollection is, Rashi says, there's a machlokes amiroi, that one of them says that the chazaka is, what happens if there would not have been a building collapse? If you would ask someone, where do you think these properties are eventually going to wind up? So one would say, since she received that from her father and from her grandfather, her great-grandfather, presumably somehow or other it's going to remain in the family. So the chazaka b'cheskas and it remains b'cheskas, her mishpucha. The other man, the Yama, says, no. The chazaka, we don't look at who's been holding the property for the last 100 years, but rather we look at Hilchis Yerusha. And Hilchis Nachlev Yerusha is when a person passes away. By definition, it goes to the children, unless you have a tzavah that says otherwise, unless there are other factors, but under normal circumstances, it goes to the child. So therefore, the chazaka of these properties is that it should pass to the child. So that's the machlokes, is what did Rabbi Kiva mean by cheskasim? Do we give all of these properties to the Yorshei Ha'aim, or do we give them all to the Yorshei Habet? But we certainly don't do a yachloik, because we leave everything by cheskasim. So that being the case, I have a shayla over here. The Gazlim confessed that I owe one of these five. Each one of the five says, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me. Why does Rabbi Kiva say in our Mishnah, or in the other Mishnah over there in Yevamos, in both places, that you have to go and give each one? He should say, you want to get, each one of you wants to get 100, prove that it belongs to you. Until you prove it, the chazok is me. I've been owning these funds for the last umpteen years. You want to take it out of my rishus? you have to, like Barry said before, you're going to have to prove that it belongs to you. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so we now end for this. Yes. Do you see where the wide lines begin in the Rashi? Go up 10 lines. It says Eilu v'Eilu, right? The Mishnah said in that case of the Ein and the Ben, Eilu v'Eilu moedim she'achoik. Who the Eilu v'Eilu? B'shami b'Eisel, she'nechleku b'nefilois acheirois, b'perek mishameis. You look up Perek Mishameis and Baba Basra in other similar types of cases. B'shami says, Yechoik. B'Eisel, Amrim nechasim cheskosim. Khan, in this case of the Ein Uben, where there's no way to determine who passed away first, Moidim Shiachloiku, everybody agrees, Yachloiku. Am Rabbi Kiva, next Rashi, Moidim Nibazeh, Alpha Bishanim bin Beshav Beshamai, even though I belong to Beshamai's camp, and therefore I would hold in all the other cases, just like Beshamai, Yachloiku, but even Beshar Nefilis Yachloiku, Bezu in this case, and he Moidim Beshilo, Shenachosim Ches Chason. Now you're wondering, so what does that mean, Becheskasim? Well, Pligi Amiroi Becheskasmi, in the Becheskasmi, there's a Machloikis Amiroi, what does it mean, Cheskasim? Does that mean Cheskas Yorshe or Ein, or the Cheskas Yorshe Haben? For us, before our time in the Digmar explains why, when, where, what. But what do I see clearly in Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva, even though normally in the other Nefilas he holds like Beishama Yachloiku, in this case I'm with Beisil, that Mechasim Becheskasim. Yet in our Mishnah it says that you have to pay out to each one of them the $100. Why? Why didn't he say, Nechas v'cheskasen, they're in my chazaka, I'm not going to pay out more than once, and maybe if nobody can prove it, I'm not going to pay out at all. Why do I have to pay twice? You want to get a kapara, then you have to go and pay everybody the full amount. Yes, sorry? Exactly right. We're not saying necessarily that he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai or that he learned by Beis Shammai. We're just saying that in this case, I disagree. All the previous cases, I loved Beis Shammai, Yechloik, not here. Here I hold like Beisil and the Chosim Cheskos. Continuing on the Gemara, Omalei Rabbeinu Rav Ashi, Umi Omar Rava Kol Mishnei Krichos Havalei LeMeidak. Remember back on the Omer Aleph, we had Stira Pikodin on Pikodin. The first case of the Mishnah said, a person said that I took a pikudin from one of your fathers and I don't remember. He has to pay each one a separate mana. Yet the middle case of the Mishnah says, Shnaim Shefkido Eitzel Echad, Zeh Mana Vezeh Mosayim. He pays each one a mana, and the third mana, Yeimuna Chachiyah V'Liyah. So he asked, why? So Rava said, the Reish is talking about Mishnei Krichos. They came independently, separately. So the Shoyim should have remembered who he took 100, who he took 200, or actually, Reish really is only talking about one person. We said, Nasa Kimisha Oimer. So he should have remembered from whom he took the mana, the pikadon. Either the father of Reuven or the father of Shimon. So it's Nasa Kishavkida Loi B'Shnei Krichas. However, the middle case, since both of them came at the same time, the Krach Echad, it's like Krach Echad, therefore he didn't have to remember. If they trust each other, of course I'm going to go and trust them. I had to go and be medactic and write Kechutasara, who gave 100, who gave 200. You know, the two people will come back and each one will tell me exactly what they took. That's what we said in the Yom Aleph. So Frank Timoriyet, is that really true? Omer Rav Ashi mi Omer Rav. Kol b'shtei kriches havalei v'medik yishin min medactic. V'omer Rav v'itayim Rav Papa. The same Rav. Or could be Rav Papa. What happens if two people came to a roya, to a shepherd? One of them left with a shepherd one shepselah, and the other left two shepselah with the roya. What is, and now a month later the two come back to the roya and say, hey roya, give me back. Each one said two shepselah, even though only one gave one and the other gave two. What happens in this case? Now everybody agrees. Everybody means both Reb Tarfin and Reb Akiva. In this situation, all you have to do is put down the three shepselach there and let them work it out among themselves. Or it could be that he gives each one shepsel, and then one shepsel he leaves there, just like by the 100 and the 200, right? He gives everybody 100 and 100, and that remaining third 100, miniach b'neim u'mistalik, like we had, he puts it down. So what does it say over here? B'shnaim shefkidu, sheminiach roya b'neim u'mistalik. So says Rashi, that even if the two came together at the same time, it would still have the same status like shtei krichois, because the difference between 100 and 200 is not significant. It's significant in terms of the value of the money, but it's not significant in terms of being able to discern between Reuven or Shimon, which gave the 100, which one gave the 200. One gave a wallet full of 100, one gave a wallet full of 200, the two wallets looked the same, the dollars all looked the same, he was not medaktik. The case, however, of the Roya, it's obvious Reuven came with two animals, and Shimon came with one animal. So the Roya should have remembered. He shouldn't be able to go and say, they trusted each other. This is the type of situation, says Rashi, that it's a Dover Hanira, it's crystal clear. He gave two and he gave one. Why do you say Miniach Roya Beinem Masalik? Amalei Hasim Kishefkidu Bi Edre Shoroya Shlimi Datoi. The case of these two, Shefkidu Eitzoroya, is talking about that they didn't even tell him. They just know he's kind of the regular shepherd of the town. So one morning, one of them deposited one animal among the eider, among the flock, and then the other guy, he deposited two, and the roi didn't even know. And later on he found out. Later on they called him up and they told him, by the way, this morning I left one, and he said, I left two, blah blah blah. But since Vishas Masa, he was not present, so we don't say in such a case, he should have been medaktik. They should have been medaktik. They should have made sure to note to him that this was two and this was one. But since both of them just dropped it off and he wasn't even around, you can't expect him to remember who, what, when, because he wasn't even there. So in such a case, he says, you fellas fight it out. Here, meniach b'neim u'mistalik. Okay, now the final case of the mission, all of this until, we're going to learn until the mission of the Amud Aleph, but this is very, very simple. Remember, back in the Mishnah, we had two parallel cases which were almost identical. The middle case was a case of 100 and the 200, that each one said, I gave you 200. What does he do? He puts the 100 down, Beinayim, and then he, and the third one is Yehimunah Hashiyah Baliyo. That's what the Tanakhama said. Rabbi Yossi says, take all three, Hakol Yehimunah Hashiyah Baliyo. And then we said, Vishnei Kelim. One Kelim is worth 100, the other is worth 1,000. The Tanakhama says, take 100 of the smaller kli and give it to one of them. Take the bigger kli and break it. Give it, now the smaller kli from the breakage, give it to the second guy. And the additional $900 worth of value of broken silver or whatever, Yehimunah Hachiyah Liyah, put it away. What did Rabbi Yossi say? No, Mahif Sederamai, take both kelim and leave it Yehimunah Hachiyah Liyah. So the two cases are the same. Why are we repeating ourselves? So Gemara Tricha, the Ash bin Hakam Maisa Bahi Kami Rabbanim Mishum Deleka Pseida. That's where the Rabbanim say, take the 300 and leave it at Shiavelio. Abhan, the case of the two Kalim, take a Pseida the Gadol. Now what's the Pseida the Gadol? Rashi says, because you're breaking the Kli. Oh, now we know where Rashi took it from on the Amud Aleph when he said that you're supposed to break the Kli. Doesn't mean break the money, sell the Kli and take the money and break it, because that's no Pseida the Gadol. See Rashi in the bottom. Say that the God will last too long. Say that the God will show kli God will shabru. We broke it. You're breaking a nice, beautiful, lovely kli, and you're breaking it down the middle. Not namamish down the middle. Nine parts you're leaving, and one part you're giving as to the other guy. So the Gemara says that that's a say that the God. Same way to Rabbi Yossi, I might say, you know, Rabbi Yossi is right in this case. Leave both kelim achiyavaliyo. The itma bahav would only be in our case. In other words, the second case with the kelim. Bahav kam Rabbi Yossi, don't touch the kelim. Leave them both achiyavaliyo. Al bahav, but maybe in the first case with the money, ema moedle rabbanan azvas, give 100 to this one, give 100 to that one, and just leave the third one achiyavaliyo. Tricha, that's why you have to have both cases. Says the Gemara, no. I respectfully disagree. You're telling me that in the case of, if it would be $100 and $200, what are we going to do? Rabbi Yossi theoretically might have held like the Tanakhama, that what should we do? We should go and give $100 to him and $100 to him, and only leave the third $100, because there's no hefsid in breaking the kli. The reason why he said, put away everything, is because hefsid ramai. What do you mean hefsid ramai? Because we want to incentivize the ramai to go and tell the truth, and not to go and lie. So therefore that's why we put the money away. So it makes a difference when you're putting away money, you're putting away kelim. Out hefsid ramai, you're not going to go and break the kli, you're going to put or give $100 and $100, you can leave everything at Yavaliyo. Says, well, you're right. Travayu and Rabban Yitzchak. Both cases we need to contra Rabbanan. Veloizu af zu kitani. What means loizu afsu? That the first case is you put away $100 and you give $100 to Reuven, you give $100 to Shimon, and the third $100 you leave at Yavaliyo. The second case is not only in the first case, but not only. We said in the first case, says Rabbi Yossi, says Rabbanan, keep $100 and $100. And a chavad and a vad in the case of the kalim, then what are we going to go and do? Not only in the first case, we're going to give $100 and $100, but even in the second case, which involves the breakage of a kli, even there we're going to go and say, break the kli and leave the remaining part of the kli at Shiyove Eliyah. So it's not coming to tell you, Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is consistent in both cases. He says, put everything away, not because I'm worried about the kli or the money. I'm worried about the ramai. Put away everything, so you should deter the ramai from telling lies and being deceptive. According to Rabbanan, however, only in the case of the money, put away the money, the third $100. But break a beautiful kli, and put a beautiful kli away, and put the shirai and the shivarim put away. Not only in the case of the money, you take the third $100 and put away Achi Avliyo, but even in the case of the kli, break the big kli and put the remainder of it, the fragments, Achi Avliyo. So with this we've concluded. Rabbi, I just want to point out that the Meiri explains on this last Gemara that we're talking about the type of kli which you could split. You have, for instance, what were the two kelim? One was a regular kos that we use on a regular basis, and one was a fancy Elio Hanavi cost, which cost $1,000. So Avada, when you're going to go and cut the cost down to size and give the smaller piece, there is a hefsid involved, because this was a beautiful cost and now you're breaking it. However, he says, in a case where you're going to have permanent damage, let's say the kli gadol, for instance, was made out of glass, go and break the glass, then the whole thing is going to be broken to smithereens. Avada, that's not what the Mishnah meant. It only meant the type of kli which is susceptible to going and splitting. The type of kli which is going to break, and the whole thing will be worthless, like a kli schuchis or kli cheres. Mishnah Avada didn't mean leave the shirayim until Yav Elio, because the fragments are worthless. And even the kli that you are cutting, presumably will be worthless because of the fact that it was glass or kli cheres. Okay, so that's why I shared it with you, because I knew somebody was going to raise his hand and say, come on, how could that be?
Yeah, it would have been if we could have shared it earlier, because we were in suspense this whole time, like, how could you suggest that? Some odd approach that you wanted them to say, no, don't do that, or, okay, anyways, go on.
Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Mitzvah Hashem again, 8:15 approximately, Sunday morning. Hatzlacha Rabbah, have a beautiful Lechtige Shabbos. Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining.